All right, let's go ahead and get started. Hopefully this will be a quick call this morning. Our agenda is here. On the agenda, it's basically got the same stuff that we covered last week. We're going to pretty much repeat this pattern for the next month or two as we get the documents into shape, as we're doing recruiting in parallel, and as we're having these conversations with W3C management in parallel. Any updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else that we need to discuss today? Okay, then first up is recruiting. We had a couple of new organizations join, I think, thanks to the emails that Mark Luba at IMS Global sent out and John Tibbetts sent out. So thank you very much for that. We've picked up about eight or so more people, organizations as a result of that. Let me try and find the I haven't had a chance to update the document yet, the recruiting document yet, but I do have access to some of the new names, so let me go ahead and read them off. Not for the minutes yet, Longley. So let's see. 7:28. Last week we got Consensus, Capella, Vital Source, Learning Community, Insight LLC. And since then, we've picked up Concordia University, Washington SBCTC. I don't know what that stands for, but they've joined up. Nielsen, which is a pretty big organization. They're already a W3C member. Motiviz Learning, who said that they would probably join and participate in the work, and the Washington State Board for Community and Technical Colleges. So that's good. We've got a couple of new folks out. Maybe by mid this week, Eric, we might want to send another ping around to see, to give people a last chance to say that they want to participate. I know the the LMRI initiative is interested in the work we're doing pretty heavily. I'm trying to get in touch with the CEO of Dublin Core to get them on board. I note still that we don't have many healthcare companies on here. So Eric, we may want to make this a point with our healthcare industry contacts. Any other updates to recruiting? Any other breakthroughs or folks people are kind of setting up to talk to in the next week?
Hey, Manu, this is Nate. I reached out to IBM. They're already a W3C member. Of course, I don't know how fast they'd be able to turn around on that because they're enormous. But their team that's working on credentials is very interested in this work, and so maybe they'll be able to sort of circulate that around a little bit and get a little bit of support.
Okay, great. Do you know if it's Arno that you talked to, Arno Lahore?
No, it isn't. It's I am not familiar with Arno.
Okay.
I'll get you the names. Their open badge program is led by David Leeser, but we also were talking to one of their higher level folks.
Okay.
These are folks involved mostly with internal training and also their partnerships with other organizations to provide training.
Okay, all right. We've got friends at IBM that are very interested in the linked data aspects. In fact, they've been leading a lot of the linked data platform work and social web work. So there's another avenue there that we could pursue with IBM, which is good because that means that you've got a great new contact there, and we could probably have the ones that we know push them a bit if we want them to support something like a charter or something of that nature.
Hey, Manu, it's Richard.
Yep.
If someone's talking to IBM, you know, the other connection that you might want to encourage them to make is that they own Connexa, which is training and HR stuff,
okay.
And they're going to be very interested in this, so you might just want to mention that when you're trying to sell them on the idea.
Okay, Connexa. Do you have any direct connections there, Richard, that we could reach out to?
No, I really don't. I just, you know, it's when I was working on workforce issues here at ETS, that was one of the major players. They bought them while we were scoping the market.
Okay.
You know, a whole bunch of these type of training and certification companies have been sucked up by the big HR platforms, and that was IBM's buy.
Okay, so let me take an action. Wanted to reach out to Arno and James Snow.
Hey, this is Matt Stone.
Yep.
I know we're having a discussion with IBM right now about some badging stuff, and I don't know if it's this group or another. But maybe you and I can work offline to sort of figure out who we're talking to over there and make some inroads.
Okay, that sounds good. I will try and send out an email after this call linking all of the IBM contacts that we know. Nate, if you could send me that email as well, I'll send something out to say, hey, you know, we're trying to reach out to IBM and kind of need a central point of contact for this stuff. Who's it going to be? Just an initial email to that effect.
Cool, sounds good.
Okay. All right, anything else as far as recruiting goes? Eric, you're on the queue.
Hi, everyone. Eric Korb speaking. So just a couple of sort of connecting the dots. I had a conversation last week with the claim, both Peter and Matt over there. They were going to reach out for Matt Stone as well. And they're working with us on the IMS project. So there's a potential that we will be working with IMS Global Project, which is producing a credential based on the spec that will be consumed into hopefully a claim. So there's some connecting of the dots there, Matt, for you, if you haven't heard about that yet. The other side is that I had a conversation with Matt Patinsky from Parchment yesterday, he is also participating in that IMS Global Project. So, you know, his answer to me was basically, we will participate in standards groups where we intend to incorporate the standard in our product. So by way of inference, if they're going to participate in the IMS Global Project, unless there's something else I don't know that they're doing separately than the e-transcript that we're producing with the standard, I presume that eventually they will have to be looking at the standard. So I think that was just a general, he's in favor of it, as long as it's something that they're looking at long term. What he wasn't able to confirm is if they're already a member of the W3C, and he put me in contact with their standards person at Parchment, and I'm just waiting for a follow-up email back from them. So my sense is that they're a maybe with a capital M.
Great. Okay, anything else on recruiting from anyone? I need to go back through the roster, as far as W3C members, we're in really good shape. We met the minimum quite a while ago. So picking up extras never hurts. The other, I think, thing to note is we're light on healthcare, so we may want to put a bit more of focus on healthcare over the next week or two. I hate to say this, but we need one really big new member that is going to commit to join. At least one, two, to three would be fantastic. But those are the types of things that, you know, W3C management will find convincing. Anything else on recruiting before we move on? Okay. Next up is a glossary document. Based on the hard work that Eric did on an internal document around glossary, I've taken almost every single one of those definitions, the ones that I think pertain to this community group, and updated the respec version. So if you look down in the terminology section, if you scroll scroll about 50% of the way down that document link that I just put in IRC, you will see the latest and greatest terminology. So I think this is the terminology that I've heard used in the group. Eric has documented, so there shouldn't be anything too surprising there. There are a couple of new ones like decentralized identifier and decentralized identifier document that I tried to put in there. Eric, I stripped out things like authorization IO because the glossaries tend to not talk about, specific services. So I tried to talk about it in a more generalized way in the web DHT and stuff like that. We've added things like claim. Matt Stone, I know that we've got this discussion about earner versus recipient kind of floating out there, and we should at some point kind of work through that, figure out if we add earner to the glossary or if we change recipient to earner or something. Greg's on the queue. Greg.
Yeah, I just noticed I had updated the vision document, and there's a missing reference to requestors, which it had been in there before. I don't know whether that is a term that we've obsoleted, or did it get?
Yeah, I think requestor is very, very old. It almost predates this this community group. I think we call them credential consumers at this point. So requester should probably be replaced with credential consumer. It's the entity that requests the credential for processing.
Okay, I'll take care of that.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so we don't have to review the glossary on the call today. It's just a heads up that I believe the glossary is aligned with what the group thinks. Now, if you have a spare second, those on the call, please read through them, and if you can do a review, send review feedback to the mailing list. Basically copy and paste the text that's in the document, and if you disagree with it, say this is what the text says today. This is what I would like it changed to. That's the best way to get feedback back into the document. And Nate's already making a suggestion saying that recipient, we should have a note in the recipient to say that the definition of recipient, it's sometimes called an earner, which is great feedback. Nate, please send that to the mailing list so that the editors don't lose track of it. It's easy to lose something in the minutes here, whereas it's a bit more difficult to lose it when it's sent to the mailing list.
If you can create an issue in the website, that makes sure it gets tracked, and when we commit, we can actually tag the commit to the open issue.
Yep.
But put it in the email. I think probably a good idea is to transfer things that come in that are issues that come in into GitHub issues later on.
Yep, I agree. Eric.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment on the work and appeal to perhaps link over. Let me make the comment first. So when I first built this, I used a lot of what the assertion link. I'll send that link out to the chat group for the open badge infrastructure. And so I'm trying to build the parallels between the two because we want to, of course, try to be in sync with that effort. So we're trying to draw those parallels. So I wonder, does it make sense to have a reference back to that, or to try to make sure that we incorporate or at least synonymous representations to the spec that the OBI has, as well as what we're doing? So that's just my comment and where I drove it and where we were trying to do here. Ultimately, I'd like to see, there we go. There's a better location. Thank you, Nate. So that's my goal is to try to be inclusive when I first built this. And I don't know if there's a one-to-one on every item, but I think we have them. But what's important to understand, too, is that when I went through this exercise, I was trying to not get into the things that go into the actual context, although sometimes they are things that are duplicated, okay? So the context itself stands alone, yet on top of that, there are things that we commonly use in our vernacular, which I felt we needed to define, and that's what the glossary is. So, you know, Manu and I had some conversation around that. Maybe you might want to add to that, Manu, but I think the context needs to be a whole different treatment than what we're doing here with this glossary.
Yep, agreed. So I think that's the right approach, meaning that the context is far more low level and it's just far. There are more terms in there. It's far more low level than the glossary. To answer the previous question, Eric, that I think you asked, you know, what do we do with terminology that's, you know, they're synonyms or they're close? There's a section in the glossary for cross references, and so the way that's supposed to work is we take a glossary term and then, for example, something like maybe a claim, C-L-A-I-M, and we cross-reference it to assertion in the open badges spec. So that makes it very clear that when we say claim, we mean assertion, like in the open badges sense. I don't know if that's quite true today, if that the terminology lines up, but that's how we're supposed to align ourselves with other standardization bodies and other standardization initiatives. If there's a term that's something else elsewhere, we need to cross-reference it in our glossary. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I definitely. There's actually a mechanism specifically referring to external definitions, and that's a good place to do it. The other thing regarding sort of the difference between the glossary and the there's actually an intermediate, which we'll need is an ontology, basically a prescribed vocabulary that's used for markup. The context then, at least in all of the work I've done, the context becomes derived from the ontology, so that the terms that are used in this vocabulary, this RDFS vocabulary, have the appropriate definitions within the context when it's created. So I have some tools that I've created to basically manage all these things in a spreadsheet and then emit all the appropriate documents, which when we're ready, I can certainly port over for our purposes.
Thank you, Greg. That's going to be a huge help. And the vocabulary is definitely something that we're going to have to end up doing. We've pieced together what we have today, at least with the demo code. We've pieced that together with the security vocabulary, and we have I forget what it is. The security vocabulary. There is an open badges one. I think that Nate and them are. That they have, so it's kind of been an amalgam of a bunch of different vocabularies. Anyway, yes, very important work that needs to be done. And thank you, Greg, for offering that tool chain. That's gonna really help speed things along. Okay, anything else on glossary before we move on?
Yeah, there was one other thing. This is a little bit over to Matt Stone. I think he's on the call.
I am.
Yeah, Matt. So I looked also at the Acclaim documentation, API documentation, and I noticed that you guys also have some specific terms that I had not seen before. So if perhaps you could take a chance to take a look at what you got. For example, I saw the word grant for, and grant, so that's something I had not seen before in your context. Okay.
You broke up a little bit there in that last few seconds. Will you repeat that, please?
Sure. When I looked at the, I'll send the link over, but in the API documentation on a claim, I saw some terminology I had not seen before in your context, or what would be considered a context, because you're not using LD, but you're using JSON. And I saw the term grantor, and I'd not seen that before, so I'm wondering if that's something we should include. So I was asking you to perhaps look at that.
Okay, I can do that.
Great, thanks, Matt. Okay, anything else on Glossary before we move on?
And it's grantor, not guarantor, right? Like, I suspect it's analogous to issuer, but I'll go sort of make sure I understand the context of how we used it.
Okay, thanks. Okay, the source for the vision document is here, but I made a pass last night and I think fulfilled the action that I had, which was to convert some of the language from the web payments group over to what we're doing. So here's the actual live version of that document. Let's see. Basically,
should be synced over now.
Oh, okay. Oh, you synced this over from last night?
Yeah, should be up to date.
Awesome.
Other than we still have a terminology section rather than extracting one specific term for credential.
Right. Okay, awesome. Thank you, Greg, for updating the doc. So yes, it's synced over. I went through all of the web payment specific things and actually ended up doing what Matt had suggested last week, which is just look at the goals that we have in our executive summary and try to elaborate on those. That combined with working on these blog posts to outline the goals that this group is after has really helped kind of refine refine the statements in the vision document. So if you look at section 3, let me get a link here, and we call them desirable properties for a credentials architecture. If you look at section 3, we talk about things like creating a vibrant credentialing ecosystem by making sure credentials are interoperable and portable. We talk about the credentials being broadly applicable to many people in industries, so they should scale to the 3 billion people using the web today. They should be accessible to people with disabilities. We talk about credentials being privacy enhancing and recipient controlled. We talk about security and decentralization and trustworthiness through, you know, credentials being independently verifiable. Basically, everything that's in the credentials should be able to be used to verify that the credential is authentic. You shouldn't have to rely on third parties to do verification. We wanted things like automation and ease of extensibility, so machine readability plays into that. There's a bit on legal and regulatory compliance, so COPPA, things of that nature, to make sure that it's easy to stay compliant with regulations so you don't accidentally collect information that you shouldn't be. Machine readability of the data makes a bit of a, it helps in that area. And then there's one last one about enabling commercialization of web and native apps. So credentials should be able to be used on the web, and they should be able to use on the native apps. So that translates all of the goals that we had written down in our executive summary a couple of months ago. It puts them into the vision document in a pretty succinct, you know, way. It's a pretty quick read. Okay, so. Any questions on the vision document or where we are with that document? And if there are no questions, then I think the next step is for people to review that document and send their review feedback to the mailing list.
The only thing would be about just updating, if we need to update the credential definition and then extract it from the glossary and put it up into the abstract as you had in the Google document. That's because what was the Google document differs and is incomplete. So
yeah.
I didn't copy that bit over.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, and I have a feeling that it's probably going to disappear. Having looked at the vision document, I think we just end up having a really small terminology section. You know, it would only talk about a few things like identity and credential and things of that nature, recipient maybe. And then the rest of the document, and so the abstract wouldn't have that bit on.
Yeah, it seems there's a bug because the terminology section should only show those terms which are actually used in the document. But
you have to specify something like a data-clean something.
Yeah, which I thought we had, but
okay.
Yeah, I'll double-check that.
I know it works. It definitely works in the web payments document, so it's probably just a version mismatch.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Okay, anything else on vision? If we don't have anything on vision, I don't know if roadmap use cases or capabilities have been updated in the last week. Does anyone have anything on roadmap use cases or capabilities that they want to mention? Okay. If not, I think we can probably strike the review of the glossary document and the vision document on calls after this one. Until we get review feedback, there's no need to talk about them. If people feel that those documents are in fairly good enough shape for us to make progress, then there's no real reason to discuss them. We do still need review comments from the group, so I think, you know, if we don't have review comments flowing in by next week, we're going to ask folks on the call to take an action to review those documents. I think the next big chunk of work that this group needs to do has to do with just roadmap and use cases. And once we get those two documents into shape, if we get roadmap and use cases into shape soon, that's really good news because that's effectively what an IG would have done. So at that point, it becomes a bit more difficult for people to suggest that we create an interest group because the output of an interest group is supposed to typically be a glossary, vision, roadmap, and use cases, you know, those types of documents. So if we already have them in pretty good shape, and I think the use cases are pretty well, you know, far along, we should have a complete set of documents for a working group to pick up by, let's say, the end of September, early October. So that's all good news. Okay, I think that's it for the call today, unless anybody else has anything else that they'd like to discuss. All right, if not, have a great rest of the week. For the editors that have roadmap use cases and capabilities, try to make some progress on those documents over the next week so that we have something to discuss during the call next week. All right, that's it. Have a great week, everyone. Bye.